All right, welcome everybody. I'd like to call the regular meeting, June 18, 2015, of the Marysville Board of Education to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now if everyone will rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a flag behind us, or in front of us, behind you all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And I would like to thank our host tonight, Marysville High School, Principal Mr. Cook and Mr. Andrews, and where is Mr. Stackhouse back there? Yeah, thank you for hosting our meeting tonight. Also, before we get started in here, just kind of a quick reminder about the public participation. It is 3 minutes, and I know some people who haven't been here before, it's not a time for discussion. It's a chance for people to make comments and for the board to listen and consider your comments, and then at some point, if we feel it's an issue that we need to discuss more, then we can put it on an agenda in a future meeting. So just to make that statement up front so people understand how that works. Next up, I need a motion to adopt our agenda.
So moved.
Second. Okay, motion by Mr. Pleasant and second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, tonight we have the pleasure of awarding some presentations to a couple different groups here. And first up, I believe we have Luke Sundermeyer is here with some of our state qualifiers from track.
And really, maybe if the board wants to come up front, then you'll have the opportunity to shake students' hands as they receive their award. And I can hand them off.
Okay, so we have a couple members of a few state qualifying relays, and Alec here in the 1600. So Alec ran the 1600 meters at the state meet, and we've got Jesse, who ran on the 4x100 and the 4x200 at the state meet, and David Hake here, who also ran on the relays, and Tyler Branton, who is not here, but he ran on the relays, and Jake Hilcher. So they had an excellent season, which culminated at Jesse Owens a couple weeks ago now, and all of them broke school records this year. So we've got a new school record in the 1600, and new school records in the 4x1 and 4x2. Which they broke several times the last few weeks. So they had a great season. All right, Jesse. And Alec.
And David.
Cool.
Congratulations, guys. Congratulations again. Very proud of you. Next up, if Pam Klaus could come up here, I think he's going to speak a little. And any other representatives, Mr. Newland, would like to recognize our award-winning Marysville Show Choir. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your amazing season.
Well, first of all, the kids wish they could be here, but they're all at rehearsal down at Vets for the wedding singer. We would let them leave. Chelsea, come see their dog. But on behalf of the 82... senior dancers, combo crew.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Jacob, turn around. This is what they did this year. culminating in Fame Chicago, where they became third runner-up, fourth place nationally. So we're very proud of that. Proud of all of you guys.
They do a great job of representing Marysville, too.
And Jacob is our combo director, yes. And he's also a former Marysville swimmer.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Careful.
Yeah. I'm kind of prone that way.
Okay. Next up, we have a presentation from Marysville High School. Mr. Cook. And others.
So we just want to provide a brief overview of some of our successes and accomplishments this year at Marysville High School. And to start with, maybe it'll work. Just wanted to highlight graduation one more time. We once again were blessed with a beautiful night, 379 graduates, 18 valedictorians, 201 graduates with 3.0 or higher, and our seniors earned over $2.5 million in scholarships. So certainly a great night, a great celebration for our community and for our students and our families that are directly affected by that. So a wonderful night. One of our strategic plan measures deals with student performance, so we wanted to recognize a few things there. First off, we had our Japanese language education program kind of develop this year, come into fruition from our transformational leadership team, and it was certainly a successful year. About 150 students were involved in the program. We held our first ever Japanese culture event here at the high school, whether it was traditional Japanese food, dancing, archery. It was a wonderful night that the community came, some surrounding students from other schools came, our kids cooked as well at the event. It was just a wonderful night. And there are other schools in the area that have had Japanese language programs for a long time, and we heard from them, and they were quite impressed that we were able to pull that off. A distance learning partnership with North Union has been unique. So about 16 to 18 students in North Union kind of stream in to Mr. Sakamoto's class at the middle school, Japanese 1 class at the middle school, and then Mrs. Nemestil goes over there twice a week for some live instruction. And we're going to continue that partnership next year, and I think we've also figured out kind of a little better method to share our resources, so that's a great partnership there. This summer, leaving July 3rd, we have 7 students traveling to our sister city in Yori, Japan, helping sponsor that. We wrote a grant this past fall and received it, as you guys are aware, for $20,000, and that's helped supporting that trip. And also next summer, when they send a group of students over, that will help us host them and offset costs for our host family. And we're going to basically, that's seed money for that exchange program to continue. The 2 additional smaller grants were written through the Japan Foundation and the OFLA, which is the Ohio Foreign Language of Japanese Teachers Association. 2 classroom grants there were awarded, and we had some great press from the Japan Foundation, the Ohio Association of Japanese Teachers, This Week News, and the Marysville JT. So truly a successful year. We are expanding next year. We'll have Japanese 2 at the high school. We'll also be offering Japanese 1 and 2 to our Marysville Early College High School students next year, which we weren't able to pull off in year 1. And we're having a survey class at the 7th grade, similar to what we do with Spanish. So making great strides there. This past year, one of the things we wanted to strive towards is to continue to refine our common assessments and progress monitor students, if you will, and look at data. We did those assessments. We really focused on English and algebra, English 9 algebra. We had about 50 students looking at some data from their 8th grade year that were kind of at risk coming in to their freshman year. And out of that group, only 1 student failed English 9, and only 7 students failed algebra for the year. So certainly room for growth, but that's impressive that teachers are doing great things, and it just kind of it got that conversation in the forefront. How are we going to work with students that are struggling? The Monarch time that we implemented once a week was also played a significant role in that as well, because that provided some extra time to work with students. So a really good process. Will be continued to be refined for next year and expanded to look at more students and going to focus at the 9th and 10th grade levels, hopefully. Blended learning. This was an ongoing conversation this year. At the beginning of the year, we rolled out Google Drive and Schoology as two technology pieces for our teachers and our students, and it was really, really embraced. When you look at the analytics of Schoology, the high school was using it a lot, both staff and students. And I use the Chris Dyson and I use this SAMR swimming pool metaphor, if you will. SAMR stands for, let me see if I can get this right, substitution, augmentation, modification, and redefinition. So if you think about substitution would be you write a paper, okay, I give you a computer and you just type it. So kind of if we're thinking Bloom's taxonomy on the lower level. And then if you think redefinition, now you're taking a piece of technology and doing something that you couldn't do without it, something truly, totally unique, producing something of your own work and kind of a higher order if you're thinking of Bloom's taxonomy. So we have teachers playing in all areas of that. And blended learning just isn't about technology. It's taking the best practices of everything we do and figuring out how to meet kids' interests, learning styles, and abilities, whether that's some lecture, some station work, some online modules, et cetera, and putting it all together. We have two teachers next year that will be developing online resources for a geometry class and a biology class. And that's in partnership. Chris Dice, Kathy McInnes, and I have been working together with three other school districts to develop a consortium. They're all Schoology districts, so we can pool resources, if you will, and kind of build up some online modules that we'll all have access to. And so we have two teachers that are going to work on that for the next year. And lastly, as you heard a few board meetings ago, we'll be rolling out our one-to-one initiative with the sophomore class that will also aid in our blended learning pieces. Last year, it's a little hard to see these pictures. We talked about redoing the old library, if you will, at the back of the building, and into a collaborative learning space. And it's taken a little more time than expected. It started last summer with teachers and staff members coming in and tearing out old carpet, and it was really largely a storage space and getting rid of old things that we didn't need anymore. So you can see we have the studio etched on the glass at this point, our Monarch. Joy Bingman has kind of redone one of the cases over there to kind of highlight some of the traditions of Marysville High School. We have pod tables that can be separated out into independent tables. The chairs have a little rocking to them, so you don't have to sit completely still if you don't want to. We have some cafe tables, some soft furniture, and that was through the McGammon family donated some money a few years ago, and that money's kind of been used around the building for various things, so that's how this came together. Our humanities class, Mr. Sundermeyer, and our ACS humanities class, they used it routinely throughout the year. We had our science department teachers going down to use it for intervention, taking like three physical science classes down, breaking out into pods based upon where kids are at. So we look forward to that continuing to be used, and hopefully other spaces can develop. Sean.
I have brought two students with me. This year we started a leadership academy, and Mr. Cook came to me last August and had this idea for a student leadership academy, and it had been something that we had talked about for several years, and I was really excited that we had the opportunity to start it. We did one of the first things that we did was we had a day-long seminar, and we talked about a lot of leadership issues. It's a diverse group. We have the FFA president, and vice president. We have Jen Patterson. This is Jenna Lee, and this is Jen Patterson. She was with student council and cheerleading. And we also had show choir leaders. We had band leaders. We had sports captains. So it was a very diverse group. We had a day-long seminar where we talked about leadership issues. We had a guest speaker come in for that. We had some leadership videos and a lot of discussion to tour the building to talk about the different programs. After that, we had one of our first initiatives was the Start Talking campaign, and I worked with Mrs. Powers on that, and the Student Leadership Committee helped a ton with that. This was our kickoff event at the high school for the first football game. We had the Ohio National Guard, we had Marysville Police, the State Highway Patrol, and the Deputy Sheriff was there also. So we had a really diverse group there to help kick off that event. We handed out literature that talked about drug prevention and having conversation with your child. So that was very successful. Handed out several hundred pieces of literature with some pizza coupons. We also had some middle school students come up and help out with that as well. So that was an extremely successful program. After we got through the beginning of the year stuff with our Leadership Academy, we started a lecture series where we had people from the outside come in and speak to us. So these are all the people we had. I'm going to let Jenna talk a little bit about the speakers and what she liked about the speakers.
So the very first day we had that leadership seminar, I just wanted to touch on that really fast. One of my very favorite things about the Leadership Academy, we actually toured the building and looked at some of the different pieces that maybe you don't see every day. I don't know if you noticed the mural on the wall coming in. That was definitely something that I had never really paid that much attention to. It was definitely cool to see that pointed out and actually get to tour some other parts of the building that I might not have usually had the opportunity to attend. So that was definitely really cool for me. And then going right on into our Monarch Period talks, those are all really cool. I must say, I probably have to say that my grandpa was probably my favorite senior. I have to say that. I'm inspired. But there was definitely something to learn different from each of the speakers, especially Mr. Rich Johnson. He came in and he talked to us from BioQuest, and he talked about some of the different struggles that he had to overcome to get there. So since it was such a diverse group, it was very interesting to hear all the different aspects that all of these different types of leaders bring. And we heard more about some of what are good leaders, how do they work in political aspects from Mr. Lee, from Mr. Faust. We heard all those different same things as well. Mr. Hubbs, we learned about how he gets to deal with all different levels of people at the hospital. So that was definitely something that we were able to take from. And then as well as the Highway Patrol Police Department, that was also something that maybe we don't think about as being leaders as much, but it was definitely very cool for us to get to talk with them on more of a one-on-one kind of basis and to actually have that open conversation. They talked for a little bit, but then it was more of a chance for us to ask questions about leadership and to see how we can implement the different things that they're doing in their careers here at the high school. So this was definitely a great way for all of our leadership across the school to get to know each other and start some collaborative efforts between all the different groups instead of being so divided. So we actually developed kind of a Twitter hashtag and Instagram called MHS United, and that was kind of how we continued to connect and just keep meeting throughout the year to continue all these different aspects.
One of our goals with this was to get a diverse group, to have some community leaders. We had some leaders within the building. We had private business leaders as well as public service leaders. So we tried to be really diverse in the types of people that we got. And we each one of them also had it. Slide. So we gave them a topic to talk about, and it really worked out great. We didn't want it to be the same general leadership topic, so we gave them some talking points, and I spoke with each one of them on the phone before they came in, and we also made sure that we had a little monarch gift for each person. Jenna and Jen and Gabby Lopez presented most of those as some of our current leaders. Next slide. I was going to have Jenna is a graduating senior. She already graduated, and so she talked about what we did. Jen is a junior that was involved, and she is going to be involved again next year. And I have said to her that she's now taking over. She actually told me that. So and she keeps telling me, no, I don't want to step on your toes. I'm like, no, this is good. This is what leadership is about. So she came to me. She was over here cheerleading the other day and said, hey, I got some really great ideas I want to meet with you. So I was really excited to hear that. So we're gonna try to find a time this summer, and I'm going to let her do some of that planning, and we're going to work together, and we have a couple other people. So I want Jen to talk about a little bit what some of her ideas are for the future and where we see it going and what you got out of it this year.
Just as I do play sports, I do cheerleading and I do softball. So with the Leadership Academy, it's cool how all of the groups, there was FFA, student council, like art club was also involved. All of the club leaders got involved, and it was just cool to see their view on like how the school's working. And it was brought to my attention how the band doesn't really know what sports are doing, and the sports don't really know what the band is doing. So I just thought it would be a good idea to get everyone together and just talk about like how we can grow as like one high school, how we can be MHS United. And Mr. Williams and I talked about maybe creating a Twitter page or a Schoology account just to so everyone knows what MHS is doing, because I love it, and I just want everyone to see what we accomplished at that.
It was a great year, and I tell them all the time, I learned more from them than they did from me, so I just appreciate being able to work with them. It was one of the most rewarding things I did this year. Maybe in the last several years. So it was just a really great experience for, I think, for them. They were very willing to come and very rewarding for myself, too.
Just a few more items. Community partnerships, certainly another part of our strategic plan. Just wanted to highlight some of those things in our ag department. They have multiple partnerships, whether with Select Sires to give our students some internship opportunities, Heritage Cooperative donates some products for our school farm. We have an aquaculture program where Southern Aquatics provides resources for that program as well and allows our students to do research. Our Japanese culture event was truly a partnership with Union County, Chamber of Commerce, City of Marysville, Honda Marysville. They each donated $500 to that cause. Memorial Health continues to be a partner in our athletic department. Starting the second half of the year, we are able to arrange a partnership with Mary Haven to get some a mental health counselor at our building twice a week to work with students who already are working with a counselor with Mary Haven, and also for when we have students really at risk or in need or in crisis, where somebody that has a stronger background in mental health counseling. So that's been a great partnership, and I think that will continue to grow. And as Mr. Williams just talked about, I'll start talking to him.
Yeah, safety and security, that's something that we're continually looking at for this building. We always want to make sure that it's safe. One of the things that we do, we continue ALIS training for all staff and students. If you're not familiar with what ALIS is, instead of going to the old lockdown procedure where everybody kind of hides in the corner, and hope nothing happens to them, they've got some new theories on what's best. ALIS stands for alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and then evacuate. What it does, it gives you choices. So we continue to train our staff and our students with that. This year we had two drug dog searches where we bring the dogs in. One time we brought them in the building and we were searching classrooms. Obviously we had the students step out of the classrooms and just have them search bags, purses, coats, that sort of thing. Second one, we had them out in the parking lot. And, I'll be honest with you, I think one of the greatest benefits to having the dogs here is even if we don't find something, if the dog alerts, we're making those phone calls home. Because if the dog's going to alert to something, there has been the smell of some sort of a drug there. And if nothing else, it starts that conversation with the parent. And then that parent can have the conversation with the kid. And hopefully, if something is going on, that kid can get whatever help they need. So we will continue with our searches. We also are continuing with proactive communication. We do a first responders meeting. We do this multiple times throughout the year. And what that is where we get together with Sheriff's Department, Marysville Police Department, EMA, we have fire here, Department of Health, people from all parts of the administration here at Marysville. It's not just the high school, it's all the administrators. And we talk about what do we need to be doing at Marysville High School, at Edgewood Elementary, at, you know, any of these buildings. And it is really nice because sometimes when we walk in the building every day, we don't see what other people see. A police officer has a different perspective. A fireman may have a different perspective. So it really gets some input from everybody. And we talk about what we need to do to keep this building safe. SWAT training. One of the things that we have talked about with our local law enforcement is we want officers in our building as much as possible. In the event something bad happens, we want them to know the buildings in and out. And, I don't think that a lot of students know or that parents in the community may know, but we have them in over the summer. Again, these pictures aren't great. This picture here, they've got a robot going up the steps with the SWAT team, and they practice drills behind it. So if there is an intruder, they're practicing some of the things that they have within our building. And, again, we invite them in. We want them in our building so that this building's a huge building. And, if they're bringing in new officers, we want to make sure that they are familiar with our buildings. A few other changes. Ohio Revised Code made some small changes. It used to be where you had a fire drill every month. They've reduced the number of fire drills down to 6, and we are now doing 3 of our school safety drills, our ALIS training drills, so that sort of thing. One other thing that I didn't add to this slide is we have added MARCS radios in every building. That's not just the high school. If you're not familiar with what a MARCS radio is, in the office you can hit a button and that sends everybody immediately. So that button will, if you have an intruder in the building, that's going to get a hold of EMA. That's going to get a hold of Marysville Police Department. That's going to get a hold of Sheriff's Department, State Highway Patrol. Everybody is coming and they're coming now. That was paid for with grant dollars, so that is a wonderful thing, and obviously we always hope that nothing does happen here, but we're doing things to make sure that our kids are safe.
Lastly, before I take any questions, I certainly want to thank the board. As you all are aware, my tenure here is ending at the end of July, and I certainly appreciate my time here, and it's been a joy. Certainly bittersweet, but it's an opportunity in Delaware to be a curriculum director, and I just couldn't pass up. And certainly, I want to thank Diane. She's been a great leader, mentor for me, and I've grown a lot. I appreciate everything she's done, and the district is certainly in good hands.
Thank you, too. I mean, it's really clear from your presentation that you brought a lot of new ideas to the school, and I appreciated that whenever I came to the building and just listening to some of your ideas. I was pretty excited, and you can see that a lot of them have come to fruition, and listening to your student leaders there, I mean, wow, that's really what it's all about. And you can see with the graduating class the kind of results that you're getting by kind of challenging them to take on some more leadership roles in them. And I like the connections with the community, and I think the sky's the limit there. So really appreciate all that. Any questions? Cool. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And also, Mr. Cook, best wishes to you, too. We'll look forward to hopefully doing some work together between the districts, because we're all about partnerships.
Mr. Williams, your group has a first tweet, so MHS United, we just put it out while you were up there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yay. All right. Let's see. Next up, we have public participation, and we have 7 people on here. Okay. First up, Patrick Soler. And as a reminder, I am going to hold this to the 3 minutes, so we'll let you know when your 3 minutes are up, and I don't want to be rude, but we'll need to keep them. Okay, great.
Did they bring the handout? Is it okay?
Great, sure. That's always helpful.
So tonight on the agenda,
girls soccer will be requesting a
approval for a retreat. And until Tuesday, I was the president of the board. And this seemed to be the one issue that our board was not able to agree upon. And so I had resigned after Tuesday. But I wanted to share some of the reasoning behind why I'd like to ask you to deny that request for the retreat, and or at least table it for additional conversation. The girls soccer boosters program, we started with $3,500. Last year, we were able to increase our budget to $10,000, and with the goal of buying new uniforms for the team. Once we found out what the expense of the uniforms would be, we decided to just buy new uniforms and for the varsity team, but also get new bags and warm-up coats for the wintertime for JV to share as well. But since that time, as we progressed closer to the beginning of the season, Coach decided he wanted to do a retreat, which is about $104 per family. That will either be paid for by the parents directly or out of the booster fund. Tuesday night, the new board agreed to pay $1,900 for to subsidize that and make it, you know, $60 additional for the parents to pay for the meals. What I would suggest is that if you deny that request for a retreat, we could utilize that money either for JV uniforms instead of the retreat, or reduce the booster fee that's associated with participating in girls soccer. Right now, girls soccer is approaching almost $500 to participate this year. We felt like the booster fee was required last year as a way to make us financially stable. But going forward, if we're going to spend money on things other that are what I consider not soccer related, then I feel like that expense is too great for parents. So that's all I know. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Trina Solar. Is that, are you basically speaking on the same thing?
Yep.
You have something different to say about it?
I do have something different to say.
Okay. So, and name and address, please. I'm sorry.
Trina Solar.
Okay.
And 725 Lone Rice Drive East. Okay. I was a parent volunteer for the soccer team, so I helped organize parents so that we can raise money. I also helped pass out uniforms, and we're in charge of those last year. And the uniforms were not in good shape for varsity or JV. So that was my big thing, was helping to get new uniforms for both varsity and JV. So when the board voted to only get varsity, even though my husband was on the board, he's like, we voted because we're trying to have enough money for the budget. I said, okay. I go, but they're passing down the bar. They're not, we haven't had new uniforms for years. The boys last year got brand new varsity and JV. My son plays, so I helped pass those out. We did get the athletic director to donate, or we got $2,100. You can see that the total there is like $7,000 for the, that's just varsity. So no new uniforms for JV. Plus, the board last night, the coach came, and not only that $7,500, he wants another $500 for emblems and stuff to be put on the coach's stuff. And I'm thinking, more money towards coaching stuff, but you guys didn't get new uniforms for JV. So, again, this is on the retreat. I'm not for the retreat. I want to see the money go towards the team. The parents worked thinking that we were going to get new uniforms for varsity and JV. We had parents calling me and my husband and saying that they were not for the retreat, and they had issues on the retreat, the fact it's a three-day weekend, church on Sunday, some brought up some concerns about safety with what has happened in the school recently with the teacher and the student. So they want to know their kids are safe on the retreat and that there's not going to be anything. You know, there was talk of no phones, but now there is on the retreat, says that they can use them a couple times. I'm sure you guys read the documents on that. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, Gretchen Sullivan.
My daughter. I'm sorry,
could you state your name and your address, please?
Gretchen Sullivan, 2092 Shepherd Street.
Thank you.
My daughter is a four-year varsity soccer player. She's on all OCCs. I'm also against the retreat. I already told her she's not going to go. It's not going to happen, whether we have it or not. It is mandatory. I think that's wrong because it is during, you know, the summertime. It is nothing related towards soccer. I think that if they want to do team bonding or anything else, there's plenty of parks that they can organize time to do that. We don't have to spend $2,000-$3,000 to do this for a weekend. She works all weekend. She's working out. She's worked all summer. She volunteered at the hospital. All those things conflict with us, and that's not going to happen. I think it's not right to penalize her for games that we're not even in soccer season. It's not even for soccer. I mean, as far as, like, there's no soccer, you know, drills or anything. There's just, I think that the whole retreat thing is just wrong. I don't like the fact that, you know, going and staying for the coach all weekend, for the whole weekend, I think it's just not right. I'm against it.
Thank you. Next up, we have Diane Jacobs. If you please state your name and your address.
Diane Jacobs, 313 Calvary Road. I'm against the retreat also. I worked in the concession stands. I kind of manned it for our soccer season last year. We have no running water out there. We had to take things home. We're supposed to use Clorox wipes to wipe down the hot dog machine. I'm sure the health department would find that not sanitary. The steps going up to our press box, they're wobbly. It's just, you know, a matter of maybe another year or two before they start really falling apart. I think the money needs, we're a Division I school. We don't look like a Division I school out there with our press box. We have no running water. We have porta pots. And the fact that the camp is mandatory, starting July 11th, if this goes through, our girls have no weekends off from July 11th because it's soccer the rest of their summer. And I just think it's kind of a waste of money. We have great perks here. We can do a lot of team building things here without spending $2,000 to $3,000.
And let's see. It looks like we have two other people for the soccer retreat. Hopefully have something if you've got some new information. We would appreciate that. But next up I have Kyle and Charlene Keaton or Keeter?
Cater.
Okay, yeah, there. Sorry. If you could state your name and your address, please.
My name is Charlene Cater, 2811 Shipwreck Drive.
Okay.
I'm against the soccer retreat also. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's appropriate in the summertime going away camp, especially with everything that's happened. I just don't think it's appropriate. And it's not affiliated really with the school. It's on with the coach himself. It's not during school time. I just don't think that it's appropriate for our girls to have to go to that. And on top of that, they want to charge us $60 for this camp, plus another $60 that he's making mandatory to go to another camp with a college coach, and another $20 on top of that to go away to a tournament, thank you, on top of a tournament, on top of already our fees for the year. So I think it's a little, you know, plus we have to play for booster fees and all that, so I just think it's ridiculous.
All right. I see Ms. Tracy Greer on here. If you would state your name and your address, please.
My name is Tracy Greer. My address is 277 West 3rd Street here in Marysville. And I would like to speak in support of the retreat and what the coach is doing. And although there won't be soccer skills taught, they will be doing some sort of physical training in addition to team bonding, which I think would be beneficial to the girls because it's the soft skills that will help them throughout the season and throughout other aspects of their life. And I don't have any issue with the coach determining what he is going to require for the girls who make the team. And that's what this will be. It will be for whoever makes the team. It's not going to be for everybody who tries out. So I just wanted to speak on behalf of support for the coach.
Okay. Thank you. All right, next up we have Justin Coltrider. State your name and address, please, Justin.
Back. Justin Paul Warrior for Level 1 SAS Wrestling. I know we had talked about 5 minutes for me. I'm not sure that I'll use that, but I want to make sure that was still okay.
I'm sorry, what's that?
The agenda allows you to extend 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that all that long. But, all right, first, you know, I'm here to talk about busing, as you all know. First, I was going to start off with some other stuff, but I had the opportunity today to listen to the minutes that you guys had on Monday, I guess, on the 15th. So I just want to kind of go through that because there was some conversation, a lot of conversation about us and this. So I want to clear up some mischaracterizations to start. First, it was said that we're not listening because we're not getting the answer we want and that we should acquiesce. It's not that we're not getting the answer that we want, but you guys aren't listening to us. You know, I'm trying to make a which I'll go through later, what we want, but we're not being listened to. So that's first. Next, we were told, it was said that it was personal for us because it affects our daughter. We're not affected. We drive our daughter. So, and she gets another ride home. So it has nothing to do with us, but it has to do with the 107 other kids that do ride the bus that need that transportation in the community. Third of all, it was said that we haven't said a word about the fairground side of 33, which we have. As you both know, I brought up Amrine Road and not having a sidewalk at the last meeting that we had, so we have brought that up. It was said that we would throw a fit if we lived on this side. We're not against the kids walking. Our alternative proposal was the kids to walk 2 miles to another bus stop on the other side of Marysville. What we're opposed to is we don't think the way that going across the pedestrian bridge is safe, which I'll get to. So it's not against the walking, as Sue said to me, like maybe I'm against walking everywhere. I'm not. I've already said they can walk 2 miles to the other side where buses are 50% empty, according to the FAQ. So it has nothing to do with that. You know, I don't think it's safe for kids to walk down Amrine Road. You guys already know a kid was hit walking down Amrine Road without a sidewalk. So city, you, whoever, put in a sidewalk for this side. Do something about the bridge on the other side because it's going to ice, which is what the state says when I spoke to them again this morning to clarify before I came tonight why they don't allow overpasses, because the bridge is ice. So what are you going to do when the city, as you said in your meeting on Monday, the city is responsible for it. What are you going to do when the city closes the bridge for ice? How are the kids going to get to school? If they can't walk down the path and they can't walk over the bridge, how are they getting to school? That's a simple question. Is it a true safety issue, was asked at the meeting, I think by Mr. Luke. And the answer to that question is, yeah, it is. Because the state says for K-8 that they can't walk over the bridge. I know you can make whatever rule you want to. No one's questioning that for 9-12. I get that. But you can't tell me that it's safe for a kid carrying a 25 or 30 pound backpack walking across an icy bridge that they're not going to fall. They will. They're already unstable from the bag being so heavy, and now you're asking them to walk across an icy bridge that the state says isn't safe already. The last meeting I brought up that you guys use the bus loading area, excuse me, that you use the bus garage rather than the bus loading area. The state says that it is from driveway to the bus loading area at the school. There's two different schools. I know they share a campus. Two different schools, two different addresses, two different 2 mile radiuses. So I was asked at the last meeting what we want. First, I've already said this at the last meeting, I'll say it again. There's no written policy anywhere. I've asked, you all know I've asked, the only thing I get is a one-line sentence that says adjust transportation radius to 2 miles. There's no written policy. You have a board, you call it a, on your FAQ, you call it a policy. So if it's a policy, create a policy, put it on board docs under policies, and let the parents read what it is, say what it is, understand what it is, and ask questions. The other thing that you're meeting the other day, you said there were only two families. I have a list of 12 families already. So you're free to have that later.
Good.
I know there's other families here tonight as well that are on this list. But so it's not just two families. You know, the comment was made, well, this had 383s, you know, already given in Well, what do you want them to do? You're not giving them a choice. We know that nothing's going to change. I know that. It doesn't mean that I don't get to come here and talk about it. It doesn't mean I don't get to email you. It doesn't mean that I don't get to vent my frustration. You made a decision that impacts not me, but 107 other families who may or may not be able to have that transportation, may not be able to find new transportation. Maybe they're new to the community. You don't know what their situation is, but you made that determination.
Okay.
And you're,
that's your final. Yep. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Thank you, Justin. Yeah, it looks like the last person, maybe, did they cross their name out? I see Amy Quasrari.
That is me. Okay. I'm here to support the busing situation as well.
Okay.
Are you
planning to speak?
No, I think he mentioned enough. I'm
okay.
Concerned with the
okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we really do appreciate you coming. Pardon me?
I appreciate the extra 2 minutes.
You're very welcome, Mr. Caltrider. And we did, after the last meeting, we did have a separate meeting, and I know that we have some plans, and I think my only other comment is I know that appreciate some of your comments have resulted in what I think are some clarifications about our transportation guidelines, so I do appreciate that. Next up, we have our superintendent's report.
Well, I'd like to start... few weeks ago now, I had the opportunity, was supposed to go to Chicago and discuss K-12's response to college readiness with Otterbein. Unfortunately, on arriving to the airport at 5:45 in the morning, our flight was canceled, but we were able to phone conference in, had great conversation with about 50 throughout the session, college acceptance counselors, and a variety of college-level people to discuss some of the things we're doing here in Marysville about college readiness at our high school and our early college high school. So I was very excited to do that, and we've had some follow-up universities that plan to come and visit our schools and see some of the things that we're doing in action, so we were pretty excited about that. Every month I try to give you an update on kindergarten. We're up to 336 students registered, so certainly that number is climbing as the summer goes on. We had a great end of the year. Hopefully you've been able to check out school websites, and if you follow Twitter, certainly our students wrapped up the year in a positive note. I'll also be forwarding to the board the results of our third grade reading scores in comparison to last year, so you can see where we are with those have come in. I'd also like to remind everyone that the traditional school report card that comes out in the summer, where the school district is given grades and each school is given grades, have been postponed till January from the State Department with the new series of assessments and new data collection system. Those will not be ready in the summer as normal. I'd also like to, later in the agenda, you have opportunity to approve a new athletic director, Stacey Hahn. I do have a statement from her thanking you for considering her. She will be here in July, so we will try to plan a type of open house or something. Hopefully we could also have the new principal by that time and maybe do a joint community type open house for the two of them. Principal search, as Mr. Cook discussed, he did turn in his resignation, so we wish him well. We started interviews today. We had one interview today, and we will have more interviews next week for a first round screener, and then we'll be forwarding candidates to a community team and a teacher building team the week following, which is the week of the 29th. So by the end of that week, well, it'll probably be July 6th once we get through the 4th of July weekend, we plan to hopefully have someone that we can name as principal and be on the board agenda for July. We are cognizant of the July 10th deadline. I know Sue talked to all of you about the possibility of having a special meeting if our applicant is in a position where they need to resign their current position before July 10th. So we'll continue to communicate that along the way.
Is that it?
It's it.
Any questions? Anything for that? Okay. All right. Treasurer's report.
We had our bond refunding on June 3rd. Successful bond refunding. Prior to the bond refunding, you know, each time, whether you're selling bonds or refunding bonds, you typically get a rating for your bonds. So that way the buyers know what kind of, you know, bonds they're getting, how safe are these bonds. So we did that in May, and the results came back. We unfortunately didn't get the rating upgrade we had hoped for, but Standard & Poor's is one of the rating agencies we use, and they did take our outlook from stable to positive. From a financial perspective, that doesn't, you know, make a big difference when selling the bonds, but from the standpoint of future refundings, it looks good for an upgrade the next time around. Probably could be up for another refunding maybe in a couple years. So you know, anytime you can get an upgrade, that helps your interest rates a little bit. But also it just speaks to what's going on in the district that they upgraded us to a positive rating. You know, when they're experts in their field, looking at a lot of different school districts. So, you know, when they're doing a rating, they're looking at, you know, what's the level of your management, what's the financial stability look like, what's the community support, what are the economics in your community, all those different things. So I guess overall that's just good news for the district. The refunding itself resulted in savings of about $5.1 million over the life of the bonds. That equates to an average annual savings of about $350,000, which would equate to about $500,000 per year on average. Some years it would be a little more, some years a little less. So good news for the district and for our taxpayers. Secondly, just give a quick state budget update. The state budget is actually, I think it's wrapped up now in the Senate. The main thing we've been watching with the state budget is the TPP reimbursement, and you know what is the budget going to look like regarding that. Not good news with the Senate version, same as it's been with the other versions. The TPP would still be completely phased out at the end of the next biennium. So we're still trying to do what we can to get a permanent solution for the TPP reimbursement. We've, you know, got a great grassroots campaign, a lot of people writing letters and sending emails to the legislature. So from here, the budget will go to a conference committee where, you know, I think, you know, who knows where it goes from there. A lot of changes often get made at the last minute before final approval on June 30th. So we'll definitely be, you know, keeping our eyes on that, and I'll keep you updated as it goes.
Do you feel like there's any, can we have any impact at this point or not, would you say?
Well, I think it shows we're definitely having an impact because TPP is one of the main conversation points when the legislature talks about it.
Okay.
I guess on the bad news side, a lot of the comments we're hearing are negative from some of the people that are hearing in the media. But at the same time, I think there are some of those that are sympathetic to our cause. So I think just the more letters and emails we get out there, and the more they see it, it at least keeps the issue in the forefront, and hopefully maybe empowers those that are sympathetic.
Okay. That it? Okay. Board President's report. I also wanted to comment about graduation. It was a beautiful evening. I thought the speeches from our students were excellent. Also wanted a shout out for Cindy Ostapuk, Mrs. Ostapuk, and Mrs. Brown. They did a great job organizing all the diplomas, and thanking Mr. Smith for helping up on stage. It's just a highlight of the year to stand there and watch those students walk across the stage. The looks on their faces are just, it's priceless. So I really look forward to that, and we congratulate all those graduates. We did have a contingency from Japan come and visit Marysville recently, and I was able to meet the new mayor and the rest of those people. Our two teachers, Mr. Sakamoto and Mrs. Nemistel, just did a fantastic job helping with translating and helping to show them around the community. I know, I think Mr. Sakamoto was at the airport, and they had all sorts of problems getting over here with flights canceled and delayed and luggage lost and stuff. And I think he was he helped with some of those problems. He made them feel a little bit better. I know the Japanese were also really impressed with how much our students have learned in 1 year. So I was proud to hear that. And I always like to mention the building note highlights. Those are notes that every building sends to the board each month to give us an update on what they're doing in the four areas of our district strategic plan. And it's just really helpful for us as board members to see how each building is focusing on those four areas of student performance and financial stability, safety, and community partnerships. So I think it helps us to support what they're doing and, again, to feel good about what's happening in our district. So we appreciate those. And then we did have a work session this last Monday, and the main focus of that work session was for the board to review the progress that we have made on our own work plan. And we started developing a work plan, I think it was last July, actually. And so we thought it was a good time to look at the plan that we had developed and how we felt we've done on that plan. And I think one thing that came out of that was that we felt it helped us all have a better understanding of what it means to be a board member and a better understanding of some of the things that we can do to help support our district strategic plan. So we did have a couple items that we could check off as completed, and we made a few revisions, and so we'll be I'll be getting those revisions worked out and sent out, and once we approve those, our updated work plan will be on the district website. So if anybody's interested, you can go to the board page on the district website and you can look at our work plans. And I think that's all I have. So next up we have Mr. Decco and the High Point Report.
Good evening.
Hello there.
Be for May's activities. I'll start off with an update from our superintendent. Dr. Price had a number of personnel items that he recommended approval from the board. One of them was hiring of Justin Rigsby as the IT instructor for the Marysville STEM Academy. He also did petition the board to move up his retirement. His original date was July 31st, but it's been moved to June 30th, so it's coming up soon. And transition to Dr. Smith, our new superintendent, is going well. There appears to be no problem with that in his retirement. You talk about the cafeteria prices. The lunch was going to go up 10 cents for next school year and 5 cents for breakfast. Part of it's their overall strategy to kind of increase the financial picture for the cafeteria revenue stream. Dr. Price participated in a number of activities in the community in May. Presented at the Marysville National Technical Honor Society induction ceremony. He also spoke at the on Senate Bill 3, and then he actually was one of many people who was at your graduation ceremony on the 23rd. The treasurer, the board approved the 5-year forecast plan. We had a work session in May 20 to go over a lot of those details. We also approved the salary compensation structure for 2016 through 2018. In terms of updates from the main campus, Shelley Sweeney talked about, they had an event, but it's very similar to what Marysville does, I'm sure, but top 15 students at Ohio High Point had the opportunity to honor that particular instructor or teacher that had the largest positive impact for them. Also, triad students from the 8th grade visited MHB to kind of get an understanding of the curriculum. The facility. Deb Workman talked about the satellite activities. She talked a little bit about some of the teacher workload that had to be reassigned to accommodate the different programs. Kenton Northward facility is progressing nicely, and they're actually collaborating with 13 different manufacturers to talk about equipment, curriculum, and internships. And then Scott McElroy, you met Scott, I think, in the last month's meeting. He's working with the Fountain High School regarding their manufacturing curriculum, so doing a nice job there. And then some particular updates for Marysville. Agribusiness and Production System, there were 26 students that attended the FFA convention in early May, and Marysville chapter was recognized as the top 10 chapter overall, so congratulations to those folks. Career-based intervention, Amy Nickel had her students read the book, The 6 Most Important Decisions You're Ever Made. I guess it was somewhat impactful to those folks. And their final project consisted of a small business plan developing that. Then the health technology, Sally Andrews mentioned that 17 seniors graduated this year. There was one student that competed in the state clinical nursing competition and placed second in the state. And so that individual will actually be attending the national conference, which will be in June in California. So congratulations to that individual. And then, unlike you folks, we did not have good weather for our convocation ceremony, but it was lots of smiles and sunshine inside the Bell Fountain High School. So there were a number of Marysville students that were recognized as 2015 Scholarship Award recipients. Just like to mention this one student, Monica Sonner, was awarded Tiffin University Merit Scholarship, and a number of other folks got Tech Prep Scholarships from different communities.
Great. Thank you. Lots of good news in there.
Yeah,
that's great. All right, next up, legislative report. Mr. Smith.
Well, the treasurer noted the news items, TPP payments. At this point, the future of those reimbursements, which make up 12% of our current budget, are still in. I've been communicating, and others have been communicating with our state senator, and I know that we've heard from Senator Burke that he is well aware of our situation and its hopeful. So hopefully some good things will happen. Recently, House Bill 212 was introduced, and it calls for the elimination of the new Ohio educational standards, which we just completed the first year under. Primarily, it wants to eliminate the core portion of those standards. This board has passed a resolution in support of Common Core. So I sent a message to Representative Landa and reminded her that we had done that and that what the law is asking is to adopt standards from a different state that state abandoned now 5 years ago, and suggested that based on what I had seen in our district in terms of student achievement, student growth, that this would be a step backwards, and that while there may be criticism, there are some things that are being worked out. There's trying to eliminate some of the problems, but I think, and I would like to see things continue to move forward at this point. And the last thing is something that I think I mentioned before, Senate Bill 85, is still in discussion that would limit the ability of, or limit to the property owner's county auditor the right to file a complaint concerning the property value. And our county auditor, I think, does a wonderful job, down the road, passage of that bill could create some complications if school districts would not be able to challenge the tax
value. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mrs. Powers, Safety and Drug Committee report.
Well, we had a meeting this week with the Youth Drug Coalition, and I left some pamphlets over there if anybody would like them. As you know very well, up on the Bell Bullet, I don't know if everybody has seen it around town, people holding up signs, the legalization of marijuana is going to come up on the ballot. For here in Ohio, they need 306,000 signatures by July 1st to be eligible for the November 15 ballot, and Responsible Ohio reports having over 500 signatures to date, 500,000. So if this is the truth, then it's a go, and I think what everybody needs to know, marijuana is especially harmful to kids and adolescents. Each year, two-thirds of new marijuana users are under the age of 18. One in six of these adolescents will go on to develop marijuana use or dependence. According to Children's Hospital in Colorado, since they have legalized it, 14 children younger than 10 were admitted for ingesting marijuana edibles in the first 11 months of 2014. Seven were in critical condition and required ICU treatment. That's a big jump from zero in 2008. So not only they're going to be able to have commercially produced edible marijuana products made also, 45% of that is in the Colorado market. In Colorado, there was 26% increase in youth ages 12 to 17 to monthly marijuana use in 3 years after it was commercialized compared to the 3 years prior. As you can see, they're making K-pops. If this would pass, there will be no limit on the amount that you can purchase. Okay, so even if you are prescribed, there will not be a limit to it. Persons under the age of 18 could get marijuana for medical purposes with parent consent. Persons with medical marijuana cards will be able to self-administer when they feel it's needed. They can get it in candy, beverages, or other food, or smoke it, however they would want to use it. Patients who have been recommended for the use of medical marijuana determine their own dosage and frequency of use. Also, there will be, if passed in Ohio, there would be up to 1,159 legal pot shops allowed in Ohio. So this is, it's two times the number of McDonald's in Ohio and six times as many as Starbucks that they can walk in. You can pick your own grade. You can pick how much you want. So I think that parents really, really need to be on top of this. And like I said, that the pamphlets are over there because this concerns our children greatly. I deal in this field every day. Most of the people that I dealt with, and people tell you this all day long, that they don't get the opiates by starting out on marijuana. That's bull. They do get the opiates by starting out on marijuana because when this no longer satisfies them, they go on. So there's some things there, and we really need the parents backing and the hand to get out to voting booths and stuff to vote this down. Also, we talked about adults disposing of RX medications. Took back over 140 pounds of medications we're taking during the event in all locations. Very, very important that we make sure any medications that aren't used, we need to throw them out. We need to take them to a drop-off point to get rid of them. The kids find these in the medicine cabinet, and the perception is, if my parents are taking them or my grandparents are taking them, they're safe or a doctor wouldn't write them. Okay? So they think, well, if it helps my parent or my grandparent, it's certainly going to help me. All right? So this is how these kids get addicted to pills as well, by doing that. And as of the ORS data, which is a data that has to go into a central base now that we can check if people are getting, if they're doctor shopping, if they're getting prescriptions all over the place, like Columbus, Marion here. Union County, they reported Union County higher than state average for number of opiates per patient. 287.90 in Union County compared to 279.94 by Ohio overall. So we're dispensing more opiates here in this county. The doctors are and stuff. So we need to be making people aware that this is how the kids get into this. And the underage drinking, we have some stats on that. You need to know that 25% of 11th grade students in Union County and 20% of 9th grade students reported drinking alcohol. This is in Union County. 22% of students said they bought the alcohol. 10% of students said they stole the alcohol. Now, this came directly from the students. So, and then if you guys want to pick up a pack of that, there's some stats on here. It's a big deal what you need to know about the legalization and everything. So, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them after the meeting.
Thank you very much. Not good information, but it's good to know to help us in that area. So, let's see. Next up. We need a motion to approve our minutes from both our work session and our regular, last month's regular board meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve the treasurer CFO items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant, and I'll second that motion.
Just a couple items to note. The fiscal year 16 appropriations are in here for approval. In general fund, appropriations in total match the five-year forecast, so no surprises there. Other funds are pretty similar to previous years. Also wanted to note, you may have noticed on the bank reconciliation, we've got a couple new investment items on there, which is good news for the district. We're kind of at a point here, you know, in the past year, we've kind of been at a point where we didn't really have the ability to invest money very long-term at all. We needed, you know, the liquidity was the most important part. There were times, especially December, January, where the cash balance got really low. So good news is we're in a point in this financial stability where we've actually got the have the ability and flexibility to invest a little more long-term. So you'll notice on there some investments with U.S. Bank and Fifth Third. So we've got some investments there that we've laddered anywhere from 12 months up to 3 years. So we're getting an interest rate. The best we're getting is about 1.25% on average. They're about 1%, which, you know,
I know that's sad, but it's good. Yeah, you know,
compared to what we've been getting, that's good. So that's, you know, nice little additional revenue.
Okay, is that is that from all of our three funds? You know, like from operations, from PI, from bond. I mean, can you combine all of those monies together to do that investing, or do you have to keep them separate?
Yes, you can keep it. You can combine, you know, the money that's in the bank. Uh-huh. We get into the weeds here.
Yeah,
but the
right.
money that's in the bank doesn't. Mm. You know, the bank doesn't care that this is general
okay, right.
fund or bond fund or
right.
whatever. So the money that's in the bank is invested. It really doesn't matter.
Okay.
Where it matters is when it comes time to post the interest. You need to post it
oh, right to the right fund. Okay.
Funds.
I just didn't know if like the state had any regulations because they, you know, they like to regulate. It seems so. Okay. Great. Okay, any other questions? Roll call then.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve the HR, the action items from the superintendent. Motion by Mrs. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
So we even had some ads. Hopefully you were able to see those this afternoon before you came. We wanted to get as many people on tonight's agenda for hiring as possible. So there were some ads late. So you're going to see quite a list of new staff members in the HR section. I would like to point out that I did mention the athletic director, but we do also have a new director of transportation who is mm-hmm. here with us this evening,
mm-hmm.
Tina Sharrock in the back.
Welcome.
So she also comes from Southwestern. So while we were sad to lose Ron, we certainly know they developed a great transportation director. And actually, Tina was his supervisor. So we're pretty excited to bring her on board. So several of those ads, we typically don't do that the same day of a board meeting, but they were all hiring situations. You'll also see in preparation for next school year some of the department lead stipends, as well as I believe we have volunteers on again. We do have some resignations. So, for example, you're going to see Ron's resignation on the same night as we're hiring someone new as well. In addition,
and Mr.
of
Cook.
SAC staff as well.
And there's also the Japanese trip on there.
So we had some questions about what was the difference between this Japanese trip and our Yori trip. Students going on Yori, because in Yori, the city is responsible for education until ninth grade. It's not a function of a typical school board like we're used to. The city funds it until ninth grade. So they wanted students of the same age bracket. So we were able to offer that trip to 7th and 8th graders and 9th graders who were interested to attend. However, there was interest of older students to attend a trip. So they've organized a trip for next year for those students to be eligible to travel as well.
And as we did have a lot of public participation, I would note that there's also the overnight field trip for the girls' soccer retreat on there. So,
right, I believe you should have all received the information sheet on the trip as well as the timetable for that trip as well in your packet.
Can we pull that one out of all the other action items before we vote?
I think that would require a motion to... require some type of a motion
because you just
to amend an amendment to this motion that you would pass everything with the exception of that.
Right. I think that should get separate discussion.
Or we could have discussion. I mean, I think another alternative would be to discuss that right now as part of this motion. And at the end of that discussion, if there's not a comfort level.
I can't actually see it. It was on the computer, and then we couldn't get online. Does anybody have a hard copy of it? So what's the date? That's my first question. Okay. So the date of the retreat is August 7th through 9th. And I would like the board to consider not passing that until they address some of these concerns that five or six people brought up.
One of my concerns, I guess, is the board getting involved in a booster type. In their conversation. I don't know. I have some concerns of us making decisions for a booster group. I don't know.
Yeah. And we have trips to Japan in the past we've approved trips for FFA, we've approved trips for swing choir, for wrestling, and for our groups. And I guess I understand the concerns that have been raised, and I think, you know, there are some things very seriously that need to be approved. I guess I feel that the responsibility for determining the details of those things rests with the superintendent, coaches, parents, our responsibility or my responsibility in this is whether or not I think student activities, student groups, overnight trips, and those kinds of things are appropriate. Mm-hmm. So,
I agree with Dick, and I agree with you that I don't think it's our place to be involved. And I know that there are concerns, but I know also when my kids were in school, I send them to overnight camps, football camps, this and that, and they actually learn more in that camaraderie situation, and sometimes I think they learn in the classroom. So I just don't think that our place is to have a voting.
I think one of the responsibilities that Stacy's going to have when she comes on board is, again, to develop the relationship with the athletic boosters, mm-hmm. to be able to have a communication so that is all clear prior to the time it comes to us. And again, was that done here?
My inclination is to vote against it, and if we can pull it out, that's fine. We need to keep it all in. Mm-hmm. I don't see why we'd have to do that. Keep it all in one lump of however many action items are. But I feel like if the retreat is scheduled for early August, there's time for this proposal to be reconsidered based on how much opposition there is from people that are involved with the soccer program. So I'd like to see another proposal in July that hopefully would take some of those concerns into account.
With that later,
Well, I mean, I think you are welcome to make a motion for an amendment, and if it doesn't get a second, then the current motion would stand, I believe. Okay.
So I would motion to pull to vote separately on the soccer retreat from all the other superintendent items.
Is there a second? Hearing none. The original motion stands.
So we're voting for all of them together?
Yes, we're voting for all of them together. Right.
And I'm going to vote no on all of them because I'm not going to vote for this proposal when there's this much opposition to it.
Okay.
And
that's fair. That's fair. I mean, that's why, you know, we have five people on here, and it's okay if we don't always all agree, you know.
If this does pass, mm-hmm. and, you know, I hope that those of you who are against it that are on the soccer team and are being told that you must go to this retreat, I hope you still find it to be, you know, a positive experience and find other ways to get your concerns addressed.
I agree too, and I do think that booster group items need to be handled at the booster group level. So it's not, you know, it's not saying that whether or not I agree or disagree with the people who spoke tonight. I think it's just more what our role is, what our job is, and I agree with what Mr. Pleasant said, you know, that this kind of thing that should be worked out with athletic director and booster groups and, you know, before that it shouldn't need to come to the board for that kind of stuff. So okay. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
No.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay.
Mr. Luke, I will need to have that packet back for the record.
I think that now takes us to comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith.
It was wonderful tonight to see and to hear what's going on in high school. A lot of the place was building, and when you see students that are achieving in athletics, when you see them achieving in the arts, when you see them achieving in terms of leadership growth and so forth, I think that speaks well for what's going on in their schools.
I think it was very exciting to see the kids involved with the Start Talking. Mm-hmm. That, of course, that's where the heart is. So to see them taking a stand against the drugs and pulling from all areas to really start raising the level, that's just real exciting. So. Along with all the other stuff, but not really.
I wanted to wish Mr. Cook the best. I think he mm-hmm. he needs to leave. And Mr. Colbright, I just wanted to assure you that I am listening to your concerns, and I took notes tonight and trying not to miss anything, particularly the thing about the bridge icing over. That's a concern, so I'll follow up on that.
I think Dick has talked it very eloquently. I think this has been a good year, and again, to see young people to show those type of leadership skills is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Johnson?
I have nothing to add.
Nothing?
Nothing
yet? Okay. I will, let's see. I also wanted to wish the best to Aaron, so maybe, whatever, hopefully we'll get to see him maybe some other time. Also, we had an awful lot of new employees on the agenda today, and so we'd like to welcome all of those new employees to our Monarch family. We look forward to meeting them. Best wishes also to Ronnie. And I, too, appreciate the great work done this year in every single building. You know, all of those clap-outs at the elementaries and the graduation and the excitement for all of our students and families. I know there's a lot of professional development going on over the summer and planning for next year, but I hope our staff will have a chance to catch their breath as well and regroup. I also wanted to thank Mr. and Mrs. Caltrider, and I know that we did speak a little bit about the whole idea of policy and clarifying things. I also, would apologize if you took any offense for comments that were made, because I know that there was no offense intended. I think that, we'll continue to discuss this and try and come to a ground where we can at least feel comfortable with what's happening. So appreciate your passion. Mr. Smith, yes.
Thank you, but I forgot one thing.
Sure.
We got an email, and while we do a lot of things during the school year, just because the regular academic year ends doesn't mean that things in school stop.
Exactly.
And next Thursday, 10:30 to 12,
right,
at Bunsold, you're having the VASE summer school, summer activity, summer camp presentations. And
I think that's welcome
to come and see
Right. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, because they do a great job out there, and I know the kids have a lot of fun, and the teachers do a great job out there. Okay. How about a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
I'm going to say motion by Ms. Powers, second by Mr. Pleasant. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Motion carries. Meeting.